Let's pray. Father in heaven, with heavy hearts, we continue to pray for Omar and the family, entrusting them to you. But now, Lord, we turn our attention fully to your word. Lord, the entrance of your word gives light to our hearts. So I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would move. I pray you would fill my mouth, Lord. And just as we discuss the resurrection, that we would realize what a great hope we have, that you have given us the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, you are our hope. The world has no hope. We find our hope in Jesus, who is the true God and eternal life. So now, Father, please open the chapter to us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, God's people say, amen. All right, chapter 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared, and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were wondering about this while they were wondering. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them, and in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised to life again." And they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. And while they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. So, the tomb is where we are. It is Sunday morning. Jesus was crucified on Thursday, I believe. And Friday was a special Sabbath where they could not do any work. It was a feast, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It followed the Passover. Crucified on the Passover on Thursday. And then the next day was a Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then Saturday was a regular Sabbath. So they did not do work on the Sabbath. They did not move more than two-thirds of a mile anywhere. So no one had gone to the tomb since Thursday night. But now, early on the first day of the week, Sunday, the women are the first ones to go to the tomb. And we get the different Bible accounts. One says Mary Magdalene was the first. You can take the four Gospels and you can put them together and you can sequence them. But I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm just going to stay with what we have here. The women go to the tomb. They're expecting to find the body of Jesus. They have spices. And they're kind of saying, when we get there, how are we going to roll the stone away? They don't even know what they're doing. But they're seeking the body of Jesus. They have been followers of his for 3 years. He began his public ministry at age 30, and he had a large following. And some of the most loyal of his followers were the women. We read elsewhere that the women would make clothing out of their own skills and make money to help pay for the ministry of the disciples. It was like missionary support. The vital and important role of women in the New Testament and in the story of the gospel. And as they arrive, they see that the stone has been rolled away. No doubt a heavy stone. I've seen the various pictures of what it might have looked like. I've been to the tomb in Israel that they think might be the tomb. And it's kind of like a large circular stone that they would have pushed in a downward, and it would have been very heavy, very hard to move. Would have required a bunch of strong men to do it. But when they get there, the stone has already been rolled away. And they don't find the body. And as they're kind of looking around, they see two angels shining in bright lightning, like lightning, gleaming. And they are told, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen." And then they remind him, "You remember Jesus kept saying to you, on the third day he's going to rise?" He kept repeating it, and they never understood it. "I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be flogged, I'm going to be spit on, I'm going to be crucified, but on the third day I'm going to rise." And the disciples went, "What? Huh?" They couldn't hear it. But now it was beginning to make sense. Now they were remembering. And so the women, they ran back with this news, and they told the 11, they told the disciples, you know, which would be the 12 minus Judas Iscariot, they told them. And the guys were still doubting. The guys were going, "I don't know." And Peter goes to the tomb. Now, it says in the other gospel in John that it was Peter and John ran to the tomb. In any case, he looks inside, and right now they're all kind of confused. There's rumors of Jesus being alive, but they're not sure. We always look in the tomb expecting to find death. But what you find with Jesus is life, eternal life. We mourn over those who pass. But those who pass in Christ, and I don't know where Omar is now. I hope he comes walking in this room right now. But I know this. I know, and you know too. You know him who is the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me will never die. Even though he dies, yet will he live. He who lives and believes in me will never die. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus conquered the grave. This morning I want to tell you, first thing I'm going to tell you is he is risen. Happy Easter. Jesus Christ is alive. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's no longer dead. And because he lives, we will live. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 promises to every one of us. Eternal life. I was reading in Psalm 90 this morning. Our years are 70, 80 if we have the strength. You've already made 86, Chuck. You're doing pretty good. Congratulations, okay? You know, life is short. I'm getting real close to 70. I'm 69 anyway. And it's like life is brief. That's just the way it is. But we do not grieve like those who have no hope. We know that those who fall asleep in the Lord are alive. And we have also the hope of the rapture. So we have the hope of that we will go be with Jesus without even dying. That could happen today. Jesus has conquered the grave. This is the center of our faith, guys. The very center of our faith. The number one teaching in the book of Acts is the resurrection. R-E-S-U-R-R-E-C-T-I-O-N. One S, two R's. Resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. If, as Paul wrote, he says, if there's no resurrection, then we're to be pitied more than all men. What are we doing here on Sunday morning? We could be, you know, let's go watch the game or something, you know. But Jesus is risen from the dead. And so this morning, in great simplicity, I'm not going to tell you anything deep and mysterious. I'm declaring to you what our text says to us. He is not here. He is risen. Jesus conquered the grave. He rose and conquered the grave. Death, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? We rejoice triumphantly over the victory that has been won on our behalf. When Paul the Apostle was at the end of his life, he says, the time for my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, but not only for me, but for all who have longed for his appearing. Paul was about to be beheaded by Caesar Nero, and he said, time for going home. Time for going home. I read this book by John Grisham, The Testament. Anybody read that? Good book. Good book. It's the story of a mission. If you want to read a good book that on an airplane or something, I recommend it. It's the story of this billionaire guy. He's a billionaire, one of the richest guys, and he dies. And when he dies, he leaves his entire fortune just to make all the heirs. He just wants to frustrate all of the greedy people around him. He leaves his entire fortune to an obscure missionary in the Amazon. And then there's a lawyer assigned to go find her. And the lawyer goes to see if he can find this missionary who's working among the tribes. And I don't want to spoil the ending. But one of the things she says, and she says she might die, and he said, don't die, Rachel. And she said, death is the reward. Those were the words of that missionary. So you want to read a book, there's a recommendation just for fun. John Grisham, The Testament. Death is a reward. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the center of our faith, and it's the center of what we preach and believe. Have a seat, please. We're going to have to work on this thing. Okay. Verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, called Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened here in these days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels and that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. Now, stop there for a minute. Can you imagine this scene? There's just been the Passover. Millions of people men had to go for that feast, the Passover. Jerusalem's crowded. And now they're walking along after Jesus was crucified. They're walking along. They saw his body get, a spear in the side, and he's buried. And they're hanging their head. And Jesus comes along with them, and he goes, what are you guys talking about? And they don't recognize him. It doesn't say he had a disguise on. It just says they were kept from recognizing him. They did not recognize him. And they said to him, are you the only one that doesn't know about what's happened these days? And Jesus, I see a little humor in this. He goes, what things? Tell me about it. He's the Son of God who just died on the cross, the creator of the universe. He goes, tell me about it. What happened? He wanted to see what they were going to say. I think maybe God has fun with us once in a while. I don't know. And they just start voicing discouragement. Oh, well, we had hoped he was alive, but, I don't know. We thought he was going to take over and, maybe a set up a kingdom or something. We thought he was going to overthrow Rome, and now and they're just all sad. How often are we like that? We go to the tomb, Oh, he's dead, right? No, he's not dead. We go to this, oh, yeah, it's bad. No, it isn't. It isn't. Notice the difference in this Bible study between unbelief and faith. And I want to take you there this morning. Between unbelief and faith. And Jesus interrupts their somber conversation of these two men on the Emmaus Road. In verse 25, he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And they beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Wow. Wouldn't you have loved to have a recording of that particular Bible study? This was Jesus explaining to these two men, one of them is Cleopas, by the way. There is some possibility that this was actually Cleopas and his wife. He did have a wife. It's Cleopas and somebody. I've always thought it was two guys personally, but I don't know. These two people walking on the road, he turns to them and he says, you know, "You're slow of heart. Don't you get it? Don't you know that the Christ had to suffer and then rise and go into glory?" And he gave them a Bible study. He started telling them scripture. He probably quoted Isaiah 53, how he had to suffer and for our transgressions and all the suffering. That is a classic suffering passage, Isaiah 53. But then it says, "But he will see the light of glory and he'll have descendants." So the death and the resurrection, if you read it carefully, are both seen in Isaiah 53. Psalm 16, the Holy One will not see decay. Jesus, so there's Old Testament. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, "I declare to you the gospel, that Christ died, was buried, that on the third day he rose, according to Scripture." Question, where in the Old Testament does it declare the death and the resurrection on the third day? Interesting. Well, a couple of places. One is Jesus said, as Jonah was in the heart of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. That was a foreshadowing scripture, the story of Jonah. Also, the story of Abraham, if you know it, where he went to offer his son Isaac. He said, "Take your son, your only son, Abraham, and to the mountain and sacrifice him there." So he went up on the mountain, and as he was about to kill his son, God said, "Stop, now I know you obey me." And God provided a ram. The Lord provided Jehovah Jireh. And then they went back down the hill, and you check it out. It was on the third day. There are the suffering and the glory. So the Bible declares much of the suffering of Jesus in the Old Testament. But it declares also his glory, that he will reign over all the earth. And so the Bible presents in the Old Testament a suffering Messiah and a glorified Messiah. And Jesus put that all into one Bible study and said, "You guys should have known this. I had to suffer to pay for the sin of the world. But I would rise and go into glory and reign." And so we need to be students of the Word and students even of the Old Testament, because the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. And as you read the Old Testament, you see the prophecies pointing to Christ. And one of the reasons we know our faith is true is fulfilled prophecy. The Bible is a prophetic book. It predicts that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. He was, Micah 5:2. And it predicted various things. And so the element of prediction. And so verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over." And so he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he broke bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. And then they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So they're walking along the road. Jesus gives them a Bible study. They say, "Would you stay and eat with us?" This is why it could have been Cleopas and his wife. "Would you stay here and eat with us?" So they come and they eat together. And Jesus takes the bread, and as he breaks the bread, they may have seen the nail marks in his hands. Suddenly they could recognize him. He gives the bread to them. And Cleopas and the other companion, they see, and then boom, he's taken away from them. He's removed from their presence. He has revealed himself. And then these two go and with the disciples. You see, I heard it taught. I heard it taught. Is that good English? I heard it taught that what Jesus was teaching them was that he's always with them. See, like if Jesus showed up in the room right now, wow. And then another week later, wow, we saw him. In over 40 days, we saw him maybe 10 times. We would go, that's it. He's always here. We wouldn't need to have these appearances anymore. We would just, and this is what happened to the disciples. They saw him risen from the dead. And they learned he's always with them. He will never leave them. He will never forsake them. Jesus is with us, church, this morning. If you, as you grow in your faith, you know that to be true. With eyes of faith, you know. Paul said we see that which is invisible. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. We walk by faith and not by sight. And when you apply eyes of faith, you begin to open your eyes to see God. You see, unbelief will blind you. Unbelief will discourage you. Unbelief is so discouraging. But faith opens our eyes to see God in nature. Wow, God, what a beautiful creation. We look out there, look at beautiful walnut trees. Okay? Faith gives you the ability to see. And wow, look what God made. But also the ability to see God in your circumstances. That today is not an accident. That God is controlling our circumstances. He's aware of us. And he's shaping, he's directing. I don't understand it. I don't get it, but I can see it. Yesterday morning at our prayer group on Saturday morning, everybody came for the wedding, right? So spontaneously, we had a pretty good-sized prayer group. It was pretty cool. And I just love it. I was going, "Lord, you're so wonderful. You're doing something just so special, just so magical, I don't know if the word magical, but so special. God, you just, wow. God's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. With eyes of faith, we know that Jesus is risen from the dead. And that faith brings joy to our heart every day because we know who God is. God loves us. Did you know that God loves you today? He loves you very much. I was reading in John, maybe I shared this already, but it really spoke to me. It's in John 17, in the last two verses of the chapter. Jesus said, let me see if I can get this right. He said, "I have made you known to them, Father, and I will continue to make you known, Father, that the love you have for me may be in them, and I myself may be in them." That really jumped off the page. Because sometimes if you're like me, maybe you wonder, "God, do you really still love me? I haven't heard from you for a while." But Jesus said, "No, Father, I have revealed you to these disciples," and he was talking about you, by the way, not just those 12. I've revealed myself to them, to you, Father, to them. I've revealed you, Father, to them. I will continue to reveal. Jesus is revealing himself to you today. God the Father is still being made known to you today. We're growing in the knowledge of God. We're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus, that the love you have for them, for me, would be in them. So you see, God looks on you. He doesn't see you. He doesn't see your sin. He sees Jesus. Because as we will learn today at the baptism, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. All things are made new. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm dead, but Christ inside me, he's doing just fine. Does God love his son Jesus? Somebody say yes. Does God love Jesus?
Yes.
Okay, is Jesus inside of you?
Yes.
Does God love you? Okay, amen. You're loved. Okay, praise God. Good answers. Verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and frightened, thinking he was a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still didn't believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and he ate it in their presence. So here's Jesus comes into the room. They're having a talk about him. He says, "Peace be with you." I love it when Jesus comes in. He says, "Peace." Whew, peace. Peace. He says, "Why are you guys still troubled? How come you're doubting? Hey, look at me. See my hands? See those marks on my hands? See my feet? I'm here. I'm alive." Jesus rose bodily. The Holy One did not see decay. If we die, our body will rot, but our spirit will go be with Jesus. But Jesus rose bodily. And to prove it, he said, "You have anything to eat here?" And they had a piece of fish. Broiled fish. I don't know why. What does that mean, they broiled it? Someone explain that to me later. I don't understand broiling very well. But they had fish. They cooked it over fire. And he ate the fish to show he was alive. In verse 44, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." That was a Jewish division. The law of Moses would be the first five books of the Bible. The prophets would be all the books of the prophets, and the Psalms, all predictive of Christ. And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures, and he told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name." "To all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what the Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So Jesus said, he opened their mind to understand Scripture. We need God to open our mind to understand the Scripture. Because without God's help, the Bible could seem boring. But when the Holy Spirit teaches us, the Bible becomes clear. God is our teacher. God opens our mind to understand the Scripture. I hope he's doing that for you. I hope you love the Bible and love to read it. When you get up and open your Bible in the morning, you're reading a book of living words that are for you, for now, for today. And then he said, "You're going to be preaching for me, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to give you power." These are all Bible studies I could by themselves. God wants us to be in his word, and he wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit. Let me summarize what we've learned so far. I'm almost done. We've been told that Jesus is risen from the dead. The resurrection. So the first thing we've studied right here in my notes is the resurrection. Then we're told that he helped them to understand the scriptures. The scriptures. And then Jesus says, I'm going to clothe you with power. So I am a believer. Jesus, you're risen from the dead, and I love the word. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And God does that. They stayed in Acts chapter 1. The Holy Spirit came upon them in power. Oh, we need the fullness of the Spirit, church. Don't be shy about asking God for more. Lord, I want more of your Holy Spirit. Give me more spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So, yeah, I'm going to walk in love, and I want spiritual gifts. I need power. And Lord, whatever you would want to give me, I want to serve your people. I want to love your people, but I need your power. And God gives us the Holy Spirit, and we become bold. Bold in sharing our faith with others. Clothed with power. And I don't think it ever stops. It says in Ephesians, don't be drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. The Greek word is continual. Be ye being filled continually. Fill me more. Jesus said, if anyone would believe in me, out of him would flow rivers of living water. Can you picture it? Can you see the water? Can you see a little picture? They draw you, this little Chico River is running right through you right here. Full speed, you know, it's just been raining and it's coming up. And you're going through. God's love runs in you and through you. That's the Holy Spirit. And you can love in his name. I can come here and love in his name. I can go to Virginia and love in his name. I can be at a pastor's conference and in his name there's power. It's not about us. But he does want to clothe us with power to be his witnesses. And it says, by the way, to all nations in verse 47. The word for nation in the Greek is ethnos. Every ethnicity. Every type of people. And I love that we are multiple. I love the concept of Christ's international fellowship. I hope we fulfill our name and get really international. More and more. Reach more people from every nation. I love it. So finally, because I want to take communion, verse 50. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. You might want to sometime read the end of Luke 24 and then read Acts 1. It's just a perfect transition into the book of Acts. Here's the conclusion. He rose from the dead. He opened the scriptures. He's going to give them the power of the Holy Spirit. He rose from the dead. He wants you to have his scriptures. And he wants to give you the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Worship the true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth." All right, so Lord, I need to be full of the Spirit, and I need to know the Word. Very simple. And then Jesus lifted his hands, and he blessed them. He blessed them. God wants to bless our lives. In Ephesians, it says, we have been given every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. May God bless you materially as well. May he bless your marriages. May he bless your children and your grandchildren. May he bless your financial stewardship. May he bless your life. May he beautify your life. God loves you today. He's not against you. He's for you. He extends his hands to his church and blesses them. Moses was given the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you. and give you peace. They hired a man named Balaam to try and curse Israel. They gave him a bunch of money. And he went up and he couldn't curse. He could only bless. God will not curse his people. You are God's chosen people in Christ. You are a blessed people. You are a loved people. And you're a people that should have great joy because you belong to Jesus Christ. You're called out of the world. You're strangers in the world now. You're not going to find what you want in this world. You're going to find it in Jesus. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Stay close to Jesus. Live for Jesus. Because you are receiving a kingdom that will not pass away. You're receiving an eternal city. A city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. A better country. And our light and momentary affliction is achieving for us an exceeding weight of glory that far outweighs whatever suffering we have now. Let's pray. Father, what a joyful meditation. What a joyful meditation. That Christ is risen from the dead. That Christ reveals the scripture to us. The Word of God. And that you have given us the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing the things to come, clothing us with power. We thank you, Father, for the scriptures. We thank you for the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the promise of eternal life. That whoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. And Father, thank you for blessing us. Even though you do allow trials and suffering to us in this life, your object is to bless us, to make us stronger and not weaker. So our confidence is in you today. And we fix our eyes heavenward. And we come to your table to remember you this morning and to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.